Come, Holy Spirit, come. We do need that Spirit as an integral part of who we are, as an integral part of everything that we're called to be. So we read through Scripture that gift that Jesus says he will give us, the gift of that Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter that will come to us and come upon us. We are told in the epistles that it is a Spirit that will bring gifts: wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, knowledge, piety, and reverence. And that we will receive the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And heaven knows, as we look at the world we live in today especially, we need those gifts of the Spirit. We need those fruits of the Spirit so that we can be all that God created us to be and all that God desires us to be. And God is the one who provides us with those gifts. We can't create them. God gives them to us. And God gives them to us for a purpose. They are provided by God for the building up of the body of Christ. God enabling us as believers in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to do what God has called us to do. That's why God gives us these gifts. That's why God blesses us with these fruits of the Holy Spirit. No matter how we experience the Holy Spirit moving in us, around us, and through us, we need that gift to remain inspired, to be challenged, and to be motivated. And I give thanks to God every day that God has blessed me and God has blessed each and every one of us with that Pentecost gift, with that Pentecost hope, the fire of the Holy Spirit that is burning within us, that calls us, enables us, and empowers us to be faithful in who we are and in all we do. Because with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. We are a transformed people. We aren't the same as we would be without this wonderful, awesome, amazing gift that God has given to us. I pondered for a moment in my reflections, wondering, where would we be without the Holy Spirit? What's it like when the power goes out? We've all been there. Those of us who were in this area, 2.5 years ago, around that big, gigantic ice storm, know what it was like to have the power out. So what's it like when the power goes out? What do you experience? I heard something. Cold. Peace. There is that too. No idea what's going on. Confusion. Sure. Fear. What else do you experience? On the 18th floor, you can't go anywhere unless you're going to walk down the stairs. Isolation. Boredom. Darkness. Absolutely. We know what it's like when the power goes out. There aren't any lights. In the middle of winter, there's no heat, and in the middle of summer, there's no air conditioning. We can't cook on our stoves if they're electric. We can't boil water in the kettle for a cup of tea or toast a piece of bread for a snack. Things in the freezer thaw out and go bad. It's hard to survive for a long time in those conditions, isn't it? Well, thank God, spiritually, the power is on. The Holy Spirit has come. And got ahead of myself. The Spirit has come, and we can't ignore it. We can't procrastinate when we're called to be a Spirit-filled people. because we know and because we experience the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, just as those first disciples did on that Pentecost when the wind blew through the whim and there were flames of fire on their heads. The Holy Spirit makes us competent just like the Holy Spirit made those first disciples competent to do more than we can ever, ever imagine. There's no reason to be shy or nervous, because the Holy Spirit is bubbling up within us. And when we let ourselves be inspired and when we let ourselves be led by the Holy Spirit, there's no telling what we can do and accomplish. And more importantly, what God can do and accomplish through us. We'll be led to take risks, leaps of faith, to be creative, to let our imaginations and our spirits go wild. And all for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all for building up God's kingdom. And that's exactly what God can accomplish. So much. When we have no inhibitions that the world places upon us, that we place upon ourselves. When there are no restrictions. When we're not locked into a box or a way of thinking, when we honestly and sincerely let ourselves go. Wow! Wow! What God can and what God will do. And the truth is, we don't have to figure out the strategy. God does that for us, and God does that with us. God motivates us through a spirit that is alive, percolating up in us, calling us along the journey of life and the journey of faith, to have a vision, to gain a sense of purpose, and most importantly, to trust that we don't ever have to do what we're called to do on our own. God, through the Holy Spirit, always accompanies us. God, through the Holy Spirit, empowers us to do what needs to be done. Right here, right now, to say what needs to be said, right here, right now, and to persevere when it feels like we're not getting anywhere or accomplishing anything. Well, there's no doubt that we like to feel the calm and gentle spirit that brings peace and contentment. But the truth is, when the Holy Spirit arrives, it's not always calm. In fact, it's rarely calm. It's more like a disturbance coming into the area, because God knows that we need to be unsettled out of our complacency. The Holy Spirit can be as much an agitator as an advocate. The Holy Spirit can be as much a provocateur as a comforter. You see, one of the lessons of Pentecost is when God happens, it will be something that is completely astonishing, like Pentecost itself was for those first disciples and for the community that was gathered around them. If we want to see genuine acts of God in our midst through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we need to be prepared to be amazed. And maybe just a little bit confused. What is it all about? What does it really mean? And if we want our faith to be something that's alive and living, if we want our church to be alive with the power of the Holy Spirit, then we have to expect that it will only happen to the extent that the God of Pentecost comes to us and shakes us up and blows things around. And maybe, in a way, creates havoc. That's the Holy Spirit. The story of Pentecost is a story that's in progress. It's a story that is still being lived out in the faithfulness of men and women today, young and old. It's being lived out right here today in each and every one of us. It's being lived out today in Jackie, who will make promises and who will be baptized into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is alive in all of us. And how we approach our lives is a testimony of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us and around us and working through us. And so a question to ponder. Will we embrace the Holy Spirit always? Beside the calm and the tranquil lake, but also in the blustery wind of a storm, in the light of day and in the dark of night. Can our prayers always be, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. I need you. We need you." Let me close with a poem that's called "When the Spirit Comes." Before the Spirit came, you were just words on a page, black on white and yellowed with age. Simply a story of long ago, of a man who had so much love to show, who healed the sick and cured the lame, took our guilt and bore our shame. It sounded so good, but it just couldn't last. It was not for today, but locked in the past. Until the Spirit came. Now the Spirit has come. You are here at my side, larger than life and ready to guide, making real to me all that you said and doing through me the things that I read. I am the glove that your hand has filled. I am the cup into which you have spilled. All the love and the power which you promised would come, right now in the present and for everyone. Since the Spirit came. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We need you. Amen.